From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of September 11, 2006, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. Great to have you with us. Last weekend, the U.S. Amateur Disc Golf Championship was held in Milford, Michigan. Players gathered from as far away as Hawaii and Alaska. They were there to test their skills against the legendary Toboggan course. We've got results for you, along with an interview with AMATS TD Todd White. He's going to talk about the event, plus how you can improve your own disc golf tournament. Plus, Nate Doss is going to explain how to take advantage of a tailwind in the 60-second clinic. It is all on the way this week on PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Innova Champion Discs at InnovaDiscs.com and Discraft at Discraft.com. Controlled Distance has a new name. Discraft presents the Surge Maximum Distance Driver in the new ESP line of grippy, durable, high-tech plastic. One throw and you'll know. The Surge was engineered for one purpose, to allow the average disc golfer to throw farther with more control. And the new ESP plastic means it's grippy, yet built to last. The Surge Maximum Distance Driver, available now from Discraft, the world leader in disc sports. 92 tough-minded amateur disc golfers descended on Milford, Michigan this past weekend for the PDGA U.S. Amateur Disc Golf Championship. And for the first time in a long time, we're going to announce a bunch of winners. None of these players have a PDGA number under 20,000. Yes, this is the future. Now, the course, the Toboggan, 8,800-plus feet, lots of elevation, lots of challenges. We're going to begin with some ties in the sixth place. Sergio Correa of Kenosha, Wisconsin, Randall Brummer of Rockdale, Illinois, plus from Dunlap, Illinois, Dustin Fee, and Jason Thompson of Granville, Michigan, all tie up for sixth. In fourth place, it was Zach Vaughn of Grand Rapids, Michigan. He was tying up with Brian Miller from Fort Wayne. In third, Joshua Girth of St. Paul, Minnesota, and Damon Stalin of Dexter, Michigan, a local guy. Two-stroke lead going into 17th, stumbles, loses it in a playoff to Steve Mills of Northville, Michigan. He is headed to the USDGC, and that is AMATS. Time now for the 60-second clinic. If you've been playing disc golf for any amount of time, you may have figured out by now that a headwind, if you're a right-handed backhand thrower, a headwind will try to turn your disc over, turn it into an anhyzer, whereas a tailwind can do the opposite. It'll emphasize a hyzer. So if you've got that basic knowledge, the question is this: how do you take advantage of a tailwind? We put that question to 2005 disc golf world champion Nathan Doss.
When I step up to a putt, I definitely have a routine. Sometimes it varies tournament to tournament, just what I'm feeling more comfortable with. But I generally like to step up to a putt, range it a little bit, you know, see what I have, how far and how hard I need to putt the putt. And then I kind of get in my, you know, starting stance, and I try to relax as much as possible. Because when you're real tense thinking about a big putt or thinking about a birdie putt, you just threw a great drive, you want to hit the birdie putt, you tend to not do what you've practiced for hours and days before that. So what I'll do is I'll stand there in my stance, and I'll kind of take a couple breaths, relax, and focus on what I've practiced. And then just go from there, you know, just let it loose. As long as you're relaxed and remember that you need to do what you did in practice, that's all that matters. To be honest with you, when I step up to a putt, I'm really not aiming at anything. I try to do it so that it's muscle memory, and sometimes when I'm out there practicing, I'll walk maybe 20 feet from the basket and shut my eyes and try to make putts. Because it doesn't matter where you look and it doesn't matter what you see, but if your body can do the same thing over and over and over and over again, you're going to be successful. That's my main thing, is when you step up to a putt, remember what you've practiced and do it.
Nathan Doss is the PDGA 2005 Disc Golf Pro World Champion.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra long glide will add D to your drive no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with a new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
Hi, this is Greg Hausfeld. You're listening to PDGA Radio. Yeah. In the big picture, this past weekend saw the United States Amateur Disc Golf Championship going down in Milford, Michigan, about 50 miles outside of Detroit. The last time I made the trip to this event was 2002. I made the trip again this year, and like everybody else there, had a terrific time. Throughout the course of the weekend, I had a chance to sit down and talk with tournament director Todd White. We talked about not only his event, but how to make yours perhaps a little better.
My name is Todd White, PDGA number 13783. I am the tournament director for the 2006 PDGA United States Amateur Championship.
Todd, how many years have you been the tournament director for the AM Nationals?
This is my fifth year.
And let's get a little history as far as your background in disc golf and the PDGA. Tell us how you got started.
I got started one afternoon at Kensington Metro Park. A guy named Mark Ellis was putting around, things like that. I had seen him before. He asked me if I wanted to go to this organizational meeting, and it just happened to be a meeting for the Pro-Am Worlds 2000.
And you were just getting started in disc golf?
I was just getting started in disc golf. He found out I knew something about computers. He wrote me in, and I ended up writing all the programming for the Pro-Am Worlds 2000 scoring system.
You know, that Mark Ellis, the lizard lawyer who's been on the show a number of times, and we love to have him, he's been known to bring a lot of folks into the fold, so clearly you're another victim.
Victim, yes. And after 2000 Worlds, Discret had this thing for the United States amateurs. And then after a long day at the course one night, you know, Mark, we went to the bar, so on, had a few beers and things like that, and then he asked me the question of, what do you think about TDing a major? And there you go.
Tell us what you do for a living.
I'm a wholesale distribution consultant, business and computer database programming for that industry, and I dabble in networking and email and things like that.
So you know a lot about computers, and that's how you kind of got sucked into helping out with Pro-Am Worlds in 2000, and it just kind of went from there?
Exactly.
Yeah. And what is it, because obviously, you know, most of us, we love to play. We love to see that disc just go and go toward the target. So what is it about running events that you find fulfilling?
A lot of the times it's mostly just watching the players enjoying themselves, having them come up and say, you know, it's a great event, it's great courses, it's great amenities, everything like that. That I get a lot of enjoyment out of that.
We always need to be renewing the ranks of leadership within disc golf, whether it's at the club level or, you know, city or state or national level or even international level. So tell me from your experiences in being a tournament director, what are some of the things that people need to think about as far as, let's say that they're thinking about putting on an event in their, you know, for their local club. What are some of the things that people need to think about to really make a tournament a success?
One of the largest things, which I'm always having difficult with, is recruiting your help, because you cannot do it alone, especially a larger tournament. If you don't recruit, you're not gonna be able to do it all yourself. You can't be in 12 different places at once. The biggest thing is be upbeat about it, get people enthused about it, and just, you know, spread the having a good time. And even though you're not playing, you know, recruit, you know, the caddies that would be caddies or the wives or things like that, or the just the people traveling, recruit them, make a good time.
And how, as far as the volunteer base, because clearly you need, you know, to run a good event, you need, you know, people to help with, say, scoring and merchandise and spotters, and there's so many places that you can use people. So how do you keep those people motivated and make sure they come back again next year?
The best thing is, tell them they're doing a great job. Even if something goes wrong, they're still doing a great job because they're volunteering. The spotters and anybody else, give them little perks, give them a disc, it doesn't cost that much to do that, and they think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. If they're out there spotting, bring them some water. don't let them sit out there all day without any water. And the biggest thing is reinforce the positive that they're doing a great job. They're doing a service, and they're not getting paid for it.
Let's talk about, because there are, I would say, at every event, there's going to be a situation where you as the tournament director have to make a call, and sometimes it's a tough call. So give us an example of a situation where you've had to make a tough call, and you know, tell us what happened.
Well, there's always tough calls to be made. Any call that the tournament director has to get involved in is going to be a tough call. The best way to go about handling it is get the other officials that are around, go to a quiet place, separate the players involved, each one talk to the other ones, make sure you know what that particular player is saying, and then all of you meet back at a quiet place, discuss what happened, make sure facts check out, things like that, and then reach a consensus within that group. That way, the facts, as best you can figure it out, are there, and everybody's standing behind the decision that's made, and then go out to the players and hand down the judgment, whatever it may be.
Now, a few years ago, the PDGA put into place the Marshall Program, and as a PDGA major event, the USAM Nationals does get a Marshall every year, is that correct?
That is correct.
And so tell us about the Marshall Program. How does that work, and how does that benefit you as a tournament director?
The marshalling program is actually, I'm really excited about it because it, again, we get a PDGA representative. It frees me up from having to roam the course, things like that, you know, make sure that the spotters are doing a good job, that there's no backups or any controversy might be able to be handled out on the course instead of under the tent. That way it can be resolved quickly. The quicker a situation resolved is usually better. That way the players aren't at one another as they're coming through the holes, things like that, because things can escalate fast, and it's better to handle them as soon as they happen. And that way we also have a representative from the PDGA that's separate from the tournament, and I think it's a great thing.
How has the AM Nationals evolved in the 5 years that you've been running it?
The evolution seems to be we're going towards the bigger player packs. We have a set purse every year. We're not basing it on how many people enter or anything like that, thanks to our great sponsors, especially Discraft. So we go for the bigger trophies, the better players packs. We try to get everybody involved. We do a lot of fun and games, or lizard games as we call them around here. We try to get everybody winning something. We try to make sure that everybody has their money back at least when they tee off. This year we found out that having a barbecue out here, feeding the players, keeping them around, everybody's like a big happy family and just having a great time. It keeps evolving as the competition's getting better and the trophies are getting bigger and everybody's excited about it.
Now, I've had the good fortune to be here this weekend for AM Nationals, and I've seen a lot of smiling faces. What would you say is the most common compliment that players give to either you or any of the staff?
The most common compliment I've heard this weekend is, I can't believe you guys are doing all of this for us. And it was just a general overall comment. Maybe the single most specific thing was the food available on site all day long.
So players are, for this event, it's not a shotgun start, it's tee times, and so any time that a player or a group is done, they turn in their card and there's food waiting there for them.
There's food waiting for them there. There's food waiting for the 8 a.m. tee time group at about 7:15. They've got hot coffee, continental breakfast type things. And then when they get off the course, then they get hot food.
If there was one thing that a lot of tournament directors could do to make an easy improvement to their tournaments, what might it be?
Be consistent in everything. Advertise everything up front. Do not change anything like the week before the event. If you put a flyer out that said it's going to be this way, stick to it. Don't ever change it. Make sure if you put it in writing, you better follow it, because players are expecting what you put out in writing.
Now let's talk about this course for a second. A lot of players, for the lucky ones who have been here to Kensington Metro Park to play the infamous toboggan course, they consistently rated as one of their favorite courses. Give us, tell us a little bit about this course.
Well, this course, as it's named, is a toboggan, and it's named because hole 1 and hole 18 actually play up and down the toboggan runs that are wooden grooves with lanes at the top. And then there are other sledding hills, which hole 2, hole 3 go up and down. And then the entire course is built around a big bowl, if you will. And you're playing side hills, up and down hills, and along the hills. I haven't really been to another course that's this kind of elevation. And if you make one mistake, that's all it takes.
So in the winter, there's actually kids and families out here with sleds and toboggans, and they're actually going up and down the hills.
Absolutely. Off of hole 3, there's a sign right of the tee pad that says advanced sledding only.
Well, what I love about this course is that, because I've played some mountain courses, and that's a lot of fun. To be able to throw, just a country mile down a hill is great. But a lot of the mountain courses are just so much work. You're hiking, thousands and thousands of feet, and usually it seems like you're always going uphill. with the toboggan course, you get those extreme elevation changes, but at the same time, at the end of the round, you're not ready to just, go off to bed. You still got some energy left.
Yeah, there's you start off through Dead Man's Alley, I'm starting to call it, is hole 1, 2, and 3. And 1 is downhill, 2 is the nasty one, uphill about 726 feet. And usually when casuals come out and play the course, they play 1, they play 2, they walk off the parking lot. And then once you play 3, the course flattens out for a little bit, gets a little bit more technical. Hole 6 is a true 2-shot. You got to land like a 325-foot shot right in the mouth of the thing to even think about getting a 3 on the hole through another 300-foot tight gap. So it gives you a little bit of break when you need it.
Now, this course is a temporary course, and explain what's the deal there.
Well, so far we've had it in for Pro-Am Worlds 2000. We've had it in for the 5 amateur nationals. One of the concerns about the park is the erosion on the hills. We're trying to convince them that it's not really that bad. Let's get it in maybe, during the summer, pay for play. So far they're not completely resisting us, even though they did around 2000. They let us sleeve the course last year, so I don't have to stake the baskets every year, which
nice.
Is a 3 to 4 hour process with about 20 people. And so slowly but surely, they're starting to come around, but it is a very beautiful part of the park, and I think that's part of the holdup.
But at this point, as I understand, the course is going to remain in through the fall. Is that correct?
We just got word today that we don't have to pull the baskets tonight. We get at least 2 weeks to reward the staff, so we get to play it for the next 2 weeks and have some fun.
So if you are anywhere within, I would say, 200 miles of Milford, Michigan, in the next 2 weeks, you should make the effort, make the drive, come and play the toboggan.
If you've never played the toboggan, I'd say if you're within 400 miles, come on out and just try it once.
Todd White, thanks for spending some time with us.
I appreciate it.
Todd White is the tournament director for the annual United States Amateur Disc Golf Championship held in Milford, Michigan at the legendary Toboggan Course. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. Go out and send some plastic flying this weekend, September 16th and 17th. You can do so in California at the U.S. Masters Championships. That is a major. In Pennsylvania, it's the Yetter Champions Cup. And in Texas, the Mr. Jim's Carrollton Open. Plus, Iowa hosting the second annual Walnut Ridge Pro-Am. And in Arkansas, it's the Hell on the Border. That's in Fort Smith. Michigan hosting the Kalamazoo Battle Creek Championship. In KC, it's the City of Fountains Classic. North Carolina, in Archdale, the Creekside Splashdown. In Georgia, it's the Forsyth County Open at Central Park. And in West Virginia, the Huntington Disc Golf Open. Plus, Cali, the Indian Summer in Roanoke Park. In Michigan, another one, the Northern Waters Series, number 6. The South Carolina Flying Disc Championships in Champaign. In South Dakota, it's the State Championships in Aberdeen. And in Alabama, the Big Bad Wolf strikes again. Full list at PDGA.com. And finally this week, a challenge to you. If you are like most of us, you have just tons and tons and tons of plastic because it's fun to collect, it's fun to throw, and we end up with tons of it. So grab one of those discs that you never use anymore or you've never used to begin with, right? So next time you go out on the course,
grab that disc that you don't use, stick it in your bag, and look for that one kid who's out there throwing a coffee can lid or something like that. And just grab that disc and say, hey, kid, here you go. When you get your first dish, you let me know. And that's why some of us are known as Frisbeetarians, because what goes around comes around, and it's all good stuff. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of September 11th. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsors this week, Innova Champion Discs and Discraft, and we had musical assistance from the Vamps. Until next week, I hope you will get out there, huck some plastic, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairways.